Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Dominion and power. Why does God allow bad things? I hope I've helped you with that. The reason why bad things are happening is not because God is a bad God. It's because God abdicated his authority and gave it to man, and man gave it to Satan. And in the Garden of Eden, he didn't just eat the fruit. He actually went in covenant with the devil. And today that covenant in many people's lives is still in effect. If you see somebody that is emaciated because of heroin, that's because they're in covenant with the devil. That's exactly what the devil. He comes to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. And so they're still in covenant. And so we've talked about this a lot. When Jesus Christ came, he came for the purpose of what? Of taking us back. The Bible calls Adam, Adam, the first Adam. But it calls Jesus Christ the last Adam. Jesus Christ came back to reverse the curse. Jesus came back to take from Satan what man gave him and give it back to mankind. And that is dominion and power. You say, well, I can't have dominion over the whole world. You're not supposed to, but you're supposed to have dominion over your world. Amen. Power over your world. And that only comes through God. You can't do it. You know, so many people try to serve God through willpower. Your willpower just won't work. It's just not strong enough. You say, man, I want to do the right thing. Paul talked about willpower. He said, when I would do good, evil is present. In other words, my willpower fails me. But God's power is more than enough. And so we have discovered in the last few weeks that God gave man dominion and power over all things at creation. And that God gave us that power and dominion, and we gave it to Satan, Adam and Eve in the Jesus conquered Satan at the cross and purchased it back with his blood. Jesus made it available to man at the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. Jesus gave to Peter the keys to the kingdom. And you've got to ask yourself, what are those keys? And Peter told us what those keys were when they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the keys to the kingdom. Repentance is an amazing thing because that is where you break the covenant that Adam and Eve entered into with Satan. When you repent, you're breaking that covenant. Baptism is important, and the name of Jesus is important because it gives you the authority. I can give you my checkbook, and it won't do you any good. You say, well, I just forged your name, but you'll get caught. You'll go to jail for that. But if I gave you a checkbook where every blank check was signed, you can make them out. That's what Jesus did. Jesus gave us not only his checkbook, he gave us a signed checkbook. And when you take on the name of Jesus, you now have the authority to spend, to take dominion, to have power in Jesus' name. And so you have to realize baptism is important. The modern church today says that it's not important. But the modern church says everything's not important. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not important. Worship is not important. Prayer is not important. Going to church, nothing is important with the modern church. They've preached a grace that is a disgrace. Grace is not just a blanket that you can sin and live how you want to. Grace is an open door. Grace is that you now have access to things that were denied to you. And so you can come boldly to the throne of what? Grace. And so baptism is important. Jesus Christ was born of a woman supernaturally. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. But Jesus lived for 30 years without doing a miracle. I've heard people and see things on TV where Jesus is making furniture and one table leg is too short, so he just grows it out. Well, that's stupid. It's not true. Jesus did no miracles. And you know what I find fascinating? Jesus did no miracles until after he was baptized. That's how important baptism was. And then the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove and said, "This is my son, who am I well pleased." If you want to please God, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you want to please God, repent. Break the covenant with Satan. Get baptized and retake his name. And then say, "Father, fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit." Those are the keys. And when you do that, then you now are in a place to have the keys. You know, it's a terrible thing. I don't carry keys to this church. I carry one thing, and that is a garage door where it gets me in this garage here, and then I come in here. But once in a while, I don't have a garage door opener. And I'm locked out of this church that God called me here to build. It's a terrible feeling. What am I going to do? Then I start calling everybody again. "Pastor Becky, where are you?" And she's pretty good about answering her phone. And then I call Brandon. He might as well not even have a phone. Let me explain to you. And if you're younger, just close your ears. This younger generation is very selfish. They don't answer their phone. And the reason they don't answer their phone, it's all about them. And then they want to call you, and you're supposed to answer your phone. What if both people don't have answer their phone? We might as well just throw the phones away. I was sent in a house way before cell phones were invented with a preacher that pastored a church, and his phone kept ringing, and he just looked at it and never answered. I said, "Brother, your phone keeps ringing." He said, "It's here for my convenience, not theirs." That's not a good attitude. I answer my phone. I answer it as quickly as I can. If I'm in the shower, I'll cut my shower short. I hear the phone ring. I got to answer the phone. Somebody is calling me. When somebody calls me, it's one of two things. They either have a need or they're going to be a blessing. Answer your phone. So if I get locked out, I start calling Pastor Brandon. He don't answer. Then I call, first I call Pastor Becky. She's always my first response because she'll answer her phone. And then she gets me into this building. But I got to have an access. That's what grace is, the key to the kingdom, getting access to everything God has. Folks, if you give your life to Jesus, you're born again, you repent, you take on his name in baptism, you get filled with the Holy Spirit legally, you are now accessible, or everything in God's kingdom is accessible to you. Everything. Salvation, healing, strength, prosperity, joy, peace. Praise God. Do you have any money in the bank? I got a little money in the bank, 2 or 3 banks. When I drive by the bank that I got money in, I feel different than I do when I drive by the bank I don't have money in. I look at that bank, I say, I could go right in there now and cash a check. Wells Fargo is in the news because they are a bunch of criminals renting that place, apparently. And that's one of the banks I bank at. And you know why I bank there? Because if I go to California, they got a Wells Fargo bank on every corner. If I go to Chicago, they got a Wells Fargo bank. I'm in San Antonio, they got banks everywhere. They are accessible. And so even though they're in the papers all the time for crazy stuff, I keep banking them because let me tell you about Jesus. It don't matter whether I'm in San Antonio or whether I'm in Mexico City. Praise God, he's on every corner. He's on every corner. Friend, when I got the keys to the kingdom, I got access to everything that Jesus Christ has, what he purchased on the cross, and I praise God for that. And so I've showed you in Acts 19, I ask you, you know, there's some people, praise God, that actually listen to what I say. I told you to go home and study the book of Acts, particularly chapter 19. Because it is a perfect example of people that are claiming to be Christians, but they're denied the power. First, there's 12 men that were disciples. They didn't have the power. Then they're the sons of Sceva. They don't have the power. There's lots of Christians just like those disciples and just like the sons of Sceva. They claim that they don't have the power. Jennifer's the one I saw. You said she went home and studied Acts 19. When you study the Word of God, you find out all kinds of things. But they didn't have the power. Most of the church today, the Christian church, is powerless. They are powerless. But most of the people in this building today are powerful. Some of you don't know how powerful you are, but you're learning more every day. You're rich in the kingdom of God. Can I tell you a little story I've shared with you two or three times because it was impressive to me. I have a friend. He's now 80-some years of age, but I heard him tell this story. I preached revivals for him in Beaumont, Texas. But he told how when he was an only child and when he was raised, he thought his parents were poor. Praise God. I think it might be the church where you went and got saved, Chris, in Beaumont. Praise God. My friend, Brother Treadway, he's a great friend of mine. But he said he thought his family was poor. And so he said his dad would go down to the little gas station every day. And he said he'd take me with him. And he'd say to me, he called him Buck. He said, Buck, he said, you want a Coke? No, Daddy, I wouldn't want one. He said, you want some ice cream? No, Daddy, I wouldn't want one. He said, you want a candy? No, I wouldn't want one. Because he said, I thought my daddy was poor. But he said one day he left his checkbook laying on the table. I was just a little boy, but he said, I could read numbers. He said, I opened that thing up, and my daddy had like $100,000+ in his checking account. He said, the first thing I did is I went up and said, hey, Daddy, when are you going to the gas station? And he said, I was shocked, my daddy, because said I didn't even wait for him to ask me when we got to the gas station. He said, Daddy, I think I'd have a Coke, an ice cream cone, and a candy bar. Some of you need to get your Coke. Some of you need to get your candy bar. Some of you need to get your ice cream because you have now got the keys to the kingdom, and everything God has promised to anybody is you. You already got the keys, praise God, and you need to take dominion and power in your life and say, devil, you're not going to rob me anymore. You come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that I might have life and then more abundantly. I got the life, and now I'm going to get the abundance. Look at somebody and say that. Say, I got the life, and now I'm going to get the abundance. I don't mind telling you folks, I'm living in the abundance, praise God. I've had the life a long time. I got to life when I was 10 years old and got saved. But now, praise God, I'm living in the abundance. Look at somebody say, I'm about to get my abundance in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God. And so when that happens, good things happen. But you've got to realize what the will of God is. What the dominion of God is. It is the will of God for you to have dominion and power. You say, well, how do I do that? Let me explain this to you. The Bible teaches us that we are to accomplish the kingdom of God. We're entitled to dominion and power. What is dominion and power? It is the ability to establish the will of God in your life. Jesus said it's not willing that any should perish. It's also not the will of God that you suffer. It's not the will of God that you're denied. It's not the will of God that you live in poverty. It's not the will of God that you scrape by. It's not the will of God that your life is hell every day. The Bible said you're made to set together in heavenly places. What is heavenly places? Heavenly places is every provision is available in heaven. If we're to live together in heavenly places, every provision is ours. And so that's the reason why, you know what's called the Lord's Prayer? We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really the people's prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. Jesus taught us how to pray. What did he say? He said, pray this way. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And this is the key to what we call the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is dominion and power. When the will of God is done in earth as it is in heaven, that gives you dominion and power. You have to determine what is the will of God in your life. That's how you get the dominion. That's how you get the power. I know it's the will of God for me to be blessed coming in and going out. I know it's the will of God for me to be the head and not the tail. I know it's the will of God that when a weapon is formed against me, that it sputters and goes out like a wet firecracker. I know that. I know that. That's the will of God. And so suddenly, I'm beginning to enlarge my sphere of dominion. You've got to get dominion and power in your own body, in your own life, but then it begins to spread out. It begins a part of your family and those that are closest to you. You have dominion and power, and good things begin to happen to you. I've got pastors that say, Brother Steve, you've taught me about faith. I've got one friend that said, when I met you 10 years ago, I was pastoring a church. It was much smaller than it is now. It's gotten bigger. When I met you, I had zero. And he called me the other day and said, Brother Steve, you know how much the church has got in the bank today? I said, how much? He said, we just topped $1 million. And they only run about 300 people. He said, when I met you, he said, we had no money in the bank. I've learned from you. That's part of the dominion and the power that we want to extend. That's the reason why you want to get around good people. You get around people that have not broken their covenant with the devil, they'll suck you dry. But you get around people that are living in overflow, you'll not only have your blessing, you'll get their splash over, praise God. I like to be around good people. I like to be around people that believe what I believe. Like precious faith. That's a great term. Like precious faith. You believe what I believe. You believe that God is a good God. You believe he saved you, filled you, delivered you. You believe that he's going to bless you every day with daily bread. You believe he's going to take care of you. You believe you're in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. You believe it doesn't matter what happens in this world. You're going to be blessed of the Lord. I want to be around people like that. So the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's what dominion and power is. The power when the will of God is done in your life. And I know I've been raised on preaching, where they taught me all the time that God was sending me trials. Everything that had been. You know what the Bible said about Job? Job was tremendously blessed. When you read the back of the book, everything was doubled. He got a double portion, a double blessing of everything in his life. And the Bible tells us the reason. His friends tried to tell him this was the judgment of God on him. But the Bible said in all of this, Job accused not the Lord of this. Friend, it is dangerous to accuse the Lord of trials that you're going through that he had nothing to do with it. I heard a man on the radio on KSLR right here in town. He said, I'm serving God today because he said, my wife got killed. My children all died. I lost my house. I lost my job. I lost my car. He said, God took me to the very bottom. And my question is, and why did you serve him? If God killed Becky, killed my family, took everything I've had, gave me cancer, I wouldn't serve God. I would be afraid of God. I'd be like 2 million other people in this city that don't go to church on Sunday. They don't go because they're afraid of God. And they think that they can hide from God in the bar. You can't hide from God in the bar. God's second on the next bar stool. He knows where you are, folks. You can't hide from God. And so, folks, I come to his house gladly because I don't accuse God. Amen. Foolishly. I admire God. I praise God. And I say, just like Pastor Becky said earlier about the Lord made thousands of ways in her life. The Lord does that for me thousands of times. He's a good God. I have no trouble. I have no trouble. See, Adam and Eve, when they got in the covenant with the devil, when you're in the covenant with the devil, what do you do? The Bible said they fled from the presence of the Lord. People that are in covenant with the devil, they haven't repented, they don't want to come to God's house. Friend, I want to come to God's house when I've been a good boy and when I've been a bad boy. It don't matter. Because I know that my God is going to reward me when I'm good, and he's going to forgive me when I'm bad. Because my God is good all the time. My boils are not from God. My wife's death is not from God. God has good things in store for me, and he establishes the will of God in my life. You can't understand this and do this until you get the keys to the kingdom that Jesus gave to Peter. So we cannot know the will of God in heaven on earth if we don't possess the keys to the kingdom. You can't know the will of God from your Harvard education. You might have a PhD, but you won't know the will of God. You might have two or three degrees, but you won't know the will of God. You might be the brightest person in the house. You see, I'm not deluded. When I stand in this pulpit and preach, I'm not the smartest guy in this building. There's some of you that are smarter than I am. Some of you are more intellectual than I am. A number of you have a lot more education than I have. But I tell you what, I've got the leg up on a lot of people. Maybe not you, but a lot of people. Because I know the will of God. Well, if you don't have the most education and you're not the smartest person, how do you know the will of God? The Bible said the Holy Ghost shall lead and guide you in all truth. I have dominion and power not because I am smart or educated. I have dominion and power because I've got the keys to the kingdom. And when things don't line up with the Word of God, I know it's my business to nudge him toward the Word of God. Constantly nudge him to the Word of God. Friend, when you give me your opinion, I will accept it as long as it aligns with the Word of God. But I don't care how important somebody is, what political power they have, how many degrees they've got to their name, how much money they got in their bank account. When they give me their opinion and it's adverse to the Word of God, I'll take the Word of God every time. Every time. Every time. Let every man be a liar, but let the Word of God be true. And so the key to taking dominion and power is to get filled with the Holy Spirit and learn how to let it lead and guide you. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 28, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of infirmities. That doesn't necessarily mean sin. It can mean sin, but it just means weakness. It means vulnerable points in your life. He said, the Spirit helpeth our weak points. For we not know what we should pray for as we ought. Folks, I know how to pray. I know how to pray for myself. I know how to pray for the church. I know how to pray for you. But there is a limit to what I know. There are some things that I do not know. And so Paul said, I will pray with understanding, and I will pray in the Spirit. I never pray that I don't pray in tongues. I'll pray in English. I won't pray in Spanish because I'm so lazy. I haven't learned it. I've been in this city almost 50 years and still can't speak a word of Spanish unless it's food. That's just because I'm lazy. You know the reason, you know, I look back now. When I came to this city as a 20-some-year-old kid, I should have immediately started learning Spanish. But do you know the reason I didn't? Fear. So why were you fearful? I make so many mistakes in English, I always thought, what if I had another language? I'd make twice as many mistakes. And now I wished I'd learned Spanish. And so I don't pray in Spanish. I'll pray in English. And I'll pray everything I know to pray. But after a while, I realize I've reached a ceiling. I've reached a limit. There's some things coming that I don't know they're coming. There's some attacks that are coming that I don't know. There's some attacks toward you, toward the church, toward me, toward, I don't know that yet. But the Spirit knoweth all things. So when I have limited myself to my English language and all that I can think to pray, then I just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Oral Roberts, I don't know how many of you have been to that campus, but it is a beautiful campus. And Oral Roberts said, every building on that place came when he prayed in the Spirit. He said, the Holy Ghost would begin to pray for me, pray through me, and then the Lord would reveal it to me, and then I'd build the building, and God would pay for it. And the Oral Roberts campus is totally debt-free now. It was heavily in debt. It was heavily in debt, and one man came and paid it all off. God's always got somebody. God's always got somebody. God's going to cause men to give under your bosom. You get into this dominion and power in the Holy Ghost, God's got somebody that's going to give into your life is going to change, and it's going to change greatly. And friend, it might be a brother, a sister, a pastor, a preacher, or it might be a straight running heathen, but God's going to get it to you no matter who he has to use it. If you get to the place where you got the keys and you're living in dominion and power. So he said, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Friend, when you've got the Holy Ghost, do you understand this? You know, it's not very far from in here to here. But do you realize that the Holy Ghost knows everything, and it's only like a foot, maybe 12 inches from your brain? And it's a need-to-know basis. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. Now, let me explain something to you. If you come to Pastor Becky and you say, Pastor Becky, my husband and I are having problems, and I've had moral failure. I fail morally. And you tell her that, you realize that she doesn't come and tell me that. That's silly. Why don't you? No, she feels like you were directed to her. And unless, as the pastor, I need to know it. We now communicate it on a need-to-know basis, Chris. I don't need to know about all your problems if you've already connected with her and she's praying with you. The same thing is true. The Holy Spirit knoweth all things. But if you're full of the Holy Ghost, it won't tell you everything at once. But it'll tell you on you as you need to know basis. I was in Phoenix, Arizona, a couple months ago with my friend, and I was driving down the road, and just as clear, the Holy Spirit said, "You're going to be involved in an accident in a little while." Just as clear as if Becky had told me. I just knew it. And I just said in the Spirit, what can I do? And the Spirit said, I'm going to take care of you. And I got to Phoenix, Arizona, and a woman run a light, slammed right into our car. I was in a rented car. She slammed right into the side of that. And if she had been back a foot, it was right into the driver's door where I was driving. It could have been a... But she hit that front wheel and just tore the front wheel totally off the vehicle. It did not scratch her. It did not scratch me. It did not scratch my passenger. Not a problem. You say, the Holy Spirit already knew that, and he told me, I'm going to take care of it. But he notified me. Friend, you get in the place where you ought to be in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will notify you, and he'll do one of two things. He'll say, I'm going to take care of it. Or here's what you need to do to take care of it. But one way or another, he will protect you because you've got dominion. You've got power. So he said, he searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you hear what the Holy Ghost says? He said, the Holy Ghost makes intercession for you, for the saints, according to the will of God. He said he's going to cause the Holy Ghost. If you keep the Holy Ghost active in your life, that's the reason why you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit every day and pray in the Holy Spirit, because he will make his intercession for you for what is the will of God. And the will of God is for you to overcome everything in this world and to be victorious in every situation. And so you need to pray. In the old church, we called it a pray through, but you need to pray and let the Holy Ghost flow out of you every day of your life. And he said, the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we love this verse, But this verse that I'm going to read you right now was preceded by these other verses. We like to pick one verse, but sometimes the verse we pick don't work unless you've worked the three or four verses ahead of it. So the verses that I just gave you are preceding this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Michelle, that used to be my secretary, she said, I've never seen anybody that things work out better than for you. They always work out. I get bad reports every day, particularly in the business where I get bad reports every day. But usually, before the end of the day, they've turned 180 degrees. They've turned 180 degrees. I've learned that that report is not the final word. God is the final word. God will turn it around every time because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got the keys to the kingdom. I'm living in a place where I've got dominion and power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God's called you and filled you and saved you, most of you in this building. And you need to get up every day and say, Daddy, I want my Coke. I want my candy bar. I want my ice cream. Praise God. Because I know I've got power and dominion over this world. I broke that covenant with the devil a long time ago. And I'm living for the Lord. And the Lord is on my side. And I'm more than an overcomer. Praise God. And I've got dominion and power in my world in the name of Jesus. And I'm closing. But if you get dominion and power strong enough in your life and you bring people into your life, they'll get saved because they're in your world now where you've got dominion and power. Praise God. Praise God. They'll either get saved or they'll get out because they feel uncomfortable. People that are still in league with the devil, they still got a covenant. They ought to get saved or feel uncomfortable in your presence because you are a different species. I know people say, oh, I just like to be around my kind. That means they want to be around all black people or all white people. That ain't me. I don't care about your complexion. I just like to be around people that are living in my world. And my world is God's world. I don't care whether you're male, female, young, old, black, white, brown, yellow. Praise God. When you're washed in the blood of Jesus, we're living in that same word, and I like to be with you.